May 26, 1982. This is Colleen Adair Fleedner interviewing Lawrence McDowell at his home at 880 Callan Avenue in Long Beach, California.
Okay, so tell me when you got interested in boating and about your boat.
Well, I think I got interested in boating almost 55 years ago. I had been flying, and I owned an airplane, and I decided I didn't particularly want to do that anymore. So I bought a boat and started in boating, and have had several boats since then. But
power boats? What kind of
I started out with a sailboat, and then since then I've had power boats. But then I got into yacht clubs and the power squadron and the Coast Guard Auxiliary and a few other boating organizations, and have been active in almost all the boating organizations in Southern California.
You still have a boat right now?
I still have a boat right now.
And where do you keep it?
In Basin 4, Long Beach Marina.
Marina.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. I was listening in the other interview to your cruising experiences with Dick Lawrence and some of that stuff that happened. I wondered if you'd gone on the Contender with him or just which boat you took up there?
No, I didn't go on the Contender. That was strictly a sailboat experience, needing people who had sailboat experience, because it's a 146-foot vessel. It required experience that and didn't really make room for a powerboat, which would be an amateur in a sailboat. But Dick also did a lot of racing and high-speed speedboats, and then he did some cruising in a 65-foot power cruiser that he had, and I went up the coast with him in that.
Uh-huh. Did the fight team type too?
No, we were taking it on up to Canada, and then later on I went up to Canada after he'd had it there for a while and cruised with him for a month up into the inland waterway up going toward Alaska. But I didn't do any racing or anything like that with Dick.
I was going to ask.
No, it was just cruising.
Uh-huh, just for pleasure. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we were on several other organizations together, but it had nothing to do with his racing career.
Uh-huh. He was into the speedboats and everything.
He was, speedboats and, of course, the Contender when they sailed it across in the Transpac race.
Mm, that's beautiful.
But I wasn't involved with him.
Is that supposed to be around anywhere?
No, it went on the reef down off Mexico. It went on the reef on the way home, and everybody was lost. I went down, cruised down there a few years ago, went down to Acapulco and back on a friend's boat, and the mast is still sticking out of the water. You can still see it. It's been probably 15 years ago, but it was a steel-hulled boat, so as a result, it would hold up for a long time. And the reef isn't very deep, so as a result, the thing is still, you can still see it as you go by. It does, especially when you knew the boat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, then, Lawrence was a friend in the some of these boating associations and things
with you. Well, I've been in Long Beach a long time, and Dick was an old pioneer family here. And both of us interested in boating, we got acquainted from that standpoint. And both of us were in the Chamber of Commerce. Uh-huh. I was the director of the Chamber of Commerce for a while, and Dick and I were both interested in boating and interested in the development of a marina in Alamitos Bay long, many years before it was built.
That was my next question. Mm-hmm. Was about the marina and who spearheaded it and how it all started.
Well, the Chamber of Commerce had a shoreline development committee which included everything on the waterfront from the harbor on around to Alamitos Bay. And Dick Loins and I were both on that committee, and I think Dick was chairman of the committee for a while, and we felt that we were more interested in building a marina in Alamitos Bay and the development of Alamitos Bay, and we felt that this committee had too many other things, and Alamitos Bay was just a drop in the bucket compared to the Alamitos Bay that we were interested in. So we tried to organize a Alamitos Bay Marina Committee separate and apart from this one, but we didn't get too far. So that's when we decided we would organize a separate outside group, not a part of the Chamber of Commerce.
Independently,
well, there were a lot of small splinter groups that were interested in developing Alamitos Bay. I don't know how many there were, but there were numerous ones, and none of them very large, and all of them, well, not all of them, but several of them were primarily a group interested in other things, and the Alamitos Bay Marina was just one part of that interest, and we felt that what we wanted was somebody who's total interest was the development of a marina in Alamitos Bay. And we couldn't seem to get it any other way, so we organized a corporation and whose sole purpose was in the development of a marina in Alamitos Bay. Started out with Dick Loins and Art Hall, Jonah Jones, and Colonel Smith, and numerous others that I don't remember. And our object was to promote the development of a marina in Alamitos Bay. And there was some opposition to building a marina in Alamitos Bay. In fact, as we felt that most of the people who lived in Alamitos Bay didn't want a marina down there. We didn't get much support from the Press Telegram, and Larry Collins, who was an editorial writer at the time, was definitely against building a marina in Alamitos Bay. And I never could find out why, except they just didn't want all those boats in Alamitos Bay. They felt that this was a sort of a private pond, and they didn't want all these strangers and outsiders in, I guess. At least that was the impression we got. So we went about trying to develop an organization that would promote the building of the marina without being encumbered with a lot of other side issues. So
did you have to do anything like go lobby the city council or anything to get it all through?
No, we there was a provision in the city that, first of all, the title and zoning money was available. The city had a lot of title and zoning money that they had not distributed, some hundred and some million dollars of it, and it was just sitting there, and it only could be used on the tidelands, and the trust said for on the tidelands for navigation, fisheries, and recreation on the tidelands. So we felt that since building a marina was certainly navigation, and it certainly was recreation, and it certainly was on the tidelands, but there was a requirement that it required a vote of the people of the city of Long Beach to spend $10 million. It couldn't be done by the city council. So we decided that we would promote the vote of the people to spend this money, and that's when this private organization came into real operation. I was president of the corporation, and we raised enough money to promote the thing. We bought a lot of billboards, full-size billboards. We bought a lot of newspaper advertising. We bought some radio advertising. We organized a speakers bureau and proceeded to promote this Alamitos Bay marina. And we raised quite a bit of money, quite a few thousand dollars, which at that time was quite a bit of money. And we did do a good lot of promotion, primarily to sell the people on voting for this thing, because it had to be voted by all of the people of Long Beach. And if we could sell those people who were not in Alamitos Bay, who we felt were going to vote against it, we could get other people away from Alamitos Bay maybe to vote for it. We could be successful in getting it approved. So then we thought, well, we don't want to put it on a ballot that has all the other things on it, like the city council and you name it, and there'd be a lot of other things on the ballot. And we had a choice of when we wanted it on the ballot, since we were the ones that were promoting it. We could ask the city council to put it on a ballot when we wanted it on the ballot. So there was a city school board election coming up shortly, and we thought, well, school board elections are very innocuous. People don't pay much attention to them. And we've been ballyhooing this thing so greatly that we would be the predominant factor on this ballot. So we requested that we be put on the next school board ballot, knowing that we would be the only other thing on the ballot besides the school board, and everybody votes yes for the school board without much thinking about it. And we felt, well, that would be to our favor. They'd vote yes on this thing along with it. Well, then somebody in the city hall got the idea, since we had promoted this thing, that they would, and I don't know how many other groups put the pressure on the city council to do this, but they thought, well, since the city has all this tithe and zone money, they would use it for other things. Somebody ruled, and I think it was a city attorney, but I'm not sure, that we could spend this money, since we had this excess amount of tithe and zone money, to build other things. And so then they came in with new fire stations, new libraries, new streets, new, you name it. They all were, I think there were some 14 different items. There were a whole bunch of them on the ballot, along with our building of the marina. We thought, oh, this is not what we expected. But they all got on there. But there was enough promotion behind all of these other things to vote yes on the expenditure of money to do this. We thought, well, maybe it wouldn't be too bad. They'll vote yes on all of them, which they did. People voted yes on the whole bunch of things that were on there. But Jonah Jones, who was a very knowledgeable attorney in Tidelands matters, said, those things aren't eligible. They are not on the Tidelands. They're not recreation, and, well, some of them might be, but they're not navigation. So they're not going to qualify. Well, nobody would listen, so they were all on there, and they all voted for it, and they all went across. Everything was voted yes, including our marina. So then somebody brought a court case up and said, you can't spend this money for that purpose. We went to court, and all of them lost but the marina. So we were the only ones that won the court case, and since the marina was on Tidelands, was recreation, was navigation, there was no violation of the Tidelands Trust to build it. So we still came out all right. That's how we got started.
It took a long time to get it going, and probably...
No, we worked on it for several years, including all this splinter group bunch ahead of that.
Even back in the 30s, you probably wanted...
The first one, in looking at some records here, there was the first inkling of the thing was way back in 19... I think this was a shoreline plan here. This was one of the shoreline plans that were promoted first, and this was put out in 1950, but there were some engineering hearings, and this had in it a Long Beach marina. But it didn't have it that was finally built. See, this is what's Basin 1, not 1 and 2 now, and 3 and 4 over here. In fact, it goes back into here, but... This was a shoreline plan, but prior to that, there were some engineering hearings in which they were going to do something like this, dated way back in, I think this one of them was dated back in, let's see a date on that. That was 19... expenditure and development from 1923 to 1949, and some of those had ideas of building a marina.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it always in the same site?
Always in the same site. It's always generally just like that one outline I showed you, even way back there. Some of those things were always shown a marina about where it is now. And this was somewhat, I think,
Dick Loins might have been somewhat responsible for it because he was on the planning commission, I think, and he had always, way back even before he and I and some of our associates decided to really go out and develop the building of the marina, Dick Loins always thought we should build a marina in Alamitos Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they drew these plans, as you saw there, this marina was shown as in Alamitos Bay, just substantially the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So he was quite instrumental in building it where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it dated a long time before we, except the Chamber of Commerce was always sort of with these committees that had to do with the shoreline. Alamitos Bay Marina was always in there, but so minute that it wasn't getting any place.
Mm.
So we wanted to stand on its own feet.
Were there any special problems then after it had been passed, getting it built, dredging problems or breakwater problems, anything?
No, the Corps of Engineers had looked it over in way before that. And they felt that it was feasible. And our engineers, the city engineers, felt it was feasible.
Mm-hmm.
And there didn't seem to be any great problems. The dredging was just a simple dredging matter.
Mm-hmm.
The spoils were easily disposed of because we could dump them way out in the ocean if we wanted to, and also some of it could be put along the peninsula to fill the beach in because it was forever washing out dangerously close to those homes along Bayshore, along the ocean side of Bayshore. So they pumped a lot of this stuff out in there. They knew they could pump it out there because it was sand and because the Alamitos Bay was filled mostly with sand because at one time the San Gabriel River dumped into Alamitos Bay before they diverted it and put a dividing breakwater and dumped it straight into the ocean. Prior to that, it dumped into Alamitos Bay, so all that was river sand, and so it made great beach sand.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no great problem in getting rid of it. Sometimes the spoils of a dredging job are difficult, but in this case it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And engineering-wise, it wasn't any great problem, except that the engineers wanted to be very careful, be sure that there wasn't any surge and there were some other tidal questions that might be detrimental to a satisfactory marina. So the engineers built a scale model of Alamitos Bay up in the end of the Marine Stadium. And the scale model was, I don't know exactly how big it was, but it was probably 50 by 75 feet, a pretty good size scale model, in which they had the water and the tides and the surge and the currents and all the other things in this model to determine what would be the result of a marina when it was actually built to a full-scale model, full-scale marina. And they found that there were certain things that had to be changed. The jetty had to be lengthened and the inside distribution of the various basins of the marina had to be changed because there was some surge developed in them that wouldn't be very satisfactory for boats tying into slips. They'd be surging back and forth in these slips, especially on tides that would occur at a time there was a storm offshore and there was heavy seas running outside. This would create a heavy surge inside of the marina, so those were redesigned in this model until they found one that would not do that, that would correct that. So before it was built, this model had to work, and so when the model was done, this is the way it was built. Ordinarily, for instance, when a marina is built or any other things on the ocean, they go to Vicksburg, where the Corps of Engineers have a tremendous model building facility. But you've got to go in and wait many years before you can get your model tested. They're that far behind. I mean, they test models of dams and things they're going to build in rivers all over the United States and breakwaters and you name it. They test them back there in the Corps of Engineers testing grounds. We didn't want to wait that long. So we had the tidal and oil money plenty of it at that time. So we built our own model, which was quite helpful in building the marina as satisfactory as the one is now. When they built Playa del Rey, they didn't do that, and as a result, they had a lot of problems. The first basin right at the entrance, the first time they had a big storm at sea, that completely washed the marina, just obliterated it.
Oh,
that's when they had to build another breakwater across the end.
Oh, all right.
So they have two going out this way, but they didn't have anything across the end. So when that happened, now they built one across the end, so any surge coming in will be diverted before it goes running up the marina. We didn't have that problem here because we had the federal breakwater that extended out to where it is now. But from the end of the east end of the breakwater on seaward, there was a lot of exposed ocean on a good easterly storm, which would go right into Alamitos Bay. And that's why these marinas had to be tested to be sure that when that happened, it wouldn't cause some damage to the vessels that were moored in the berth, and especially in Basin 1.
Is that why they put up some of the big walls that go around corners? I don't know what you would call them.
Well, there's one that's over there across from the Long Beach Yacht Club that was built there for that reason. It's got a kink in it like a dog's leg, and that was built there for that reason, to keep that surge from going into those basins. Mm-hmm. And all that was developed in this model.
Should have come and listened to you. Now, is the marina still publicly owned?
Still publicly owned, yes. It probably would be too costly for anybody to acquire as a private enterprise, and I don't think that it would be proper for the city to dispose of it for a profit-making operation.
Is it still one of the biggest here?
It's still, this was the biggest one. The marina, Alamitos Bay Marina, was the biggest one that was built after the one in Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale used to publicize that they were the biggest marina in the world, and then they sent me a clipping, which I probably have in some place. We used to be called the biggest marina in the world until they built that one in Alamitos Bay. In Long Beach. They admitted that they were no longer the biggest, and we were. Then there was another one built up in Washington that was almost as big as this one. But I corresponded with their development manager over a long period of time, and they copied many things that we did here, including a lot of our ordinances and regulations and whatever else. But they felt that we had some experience, and why should they go experimenting? They might as well copy what we did.
Well, you pioneered all of that.
Well, many of the things that we did here were pioneered. Some of the construction.
Yeah.
First time any fiberglass pontoons were used, they were used here.
Oh, is that right?
The first time they used anodized railings. Aluminum around the waterfront is just dynamite. It salt water eats aluminum rapidly. But they found that by using anodized aluminum, anodized a certain way, that they would hold up. So some of these railings have been in, well, all the railings have been in around the marina, of course, over 20 years, and they're just as good as the day they were put in. So there are places around about that, if they could afford it, put in anodized aluminum railings.
Okay. You know something else that I read, the Naples Sabot, 8-foot sabot was developed down here. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, there was a young man who built a wooden sabot. In fact, as I had one of them, and I have the drawings yet that he made, which was the first boat of that kind. They called them first the wooden shoe. Then they called them sabot. I don't know why the change, but anyway, the later name was sabot, and they still make a boat identical, except now they're made out of fiberglass. But the specifications were exact. They had to be exactly the same, both the hull, the weight, the mast, the sail, the rudder, the leeboard, and all the rest of things had to be exactly the same. So it made a great small boat racing fleet, especially for the younger people that were coming up and boating and like to race.
Hmm.
But they still race the same Sabot.
Is that right? I used to have the Sabot. That's interesting. Was that a long time ago or just fairly recent?
Oh, no, that was, I guess that must have been at least 30 years ago or more.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I kind of got the impression it was just in the 60s or something.
No, because they were racing wooden sabots in Alamitos Bay when the marina was opened in 1956. And they were well established by that time.
You don't know who he was, do you, his name?
No, I do not.
I thought you might know something about that. Reading the most. That makes me care now. Well, I wanted to ask who owned the land, if you had to purchase it from Bixby Ranch or, you know, around the marina area. Was that a problem at all?
Well, it was somewhat of a problem because it was owned by a variety of people. Some of it was privately owned by individuals, and others was part of the Bixby's and part of the McGrath estate, and some of it was public land. It was just a hodgepodge of little plots of land. I say little, they were fair-sized plots, but little by comparison to the whole. All had to be acquired to make the marina practical. And most of it was acquired without too much trouble because, you know, a government agency by eminent domain can just take it. They have to pay for it, but you don't have much choice in getting rid of it. It's taken by that for that reason. And when the Marine Stadium was built, of course, it only went to the present Davies Bridge, because that was as long as they needed for an Olympic course at that time. Later on, the Olympic course had to be longer than that. It goes all the way down from the front of the Long Beach Yacht Club to the end of the Marine Stadium, under the Davies Bridge. So the land that was on the east side of the Davies Bridge was finally dredged out, and that became Basin 3 and 4. And the Marine Stadium then was lengthened to meet the current Olympic standards. And they did hold Olympic races there. And some, I guess you call them, Olympic trials. And the universities still race their shells. And they start way down in front of the Long Beach Yacht Club, right by that breakwater that you were talking about, and it goes up to the end of the Marine Stadium.
They aren't going to use that for the current or the coming.
No. There's a little problem, I understand. The Olympic Committee didn't like a little kink that was in it. It couldn't go perfectly straight. There's just a little tiny dog's leg. But the Davies Bridge was built to meet the requirements of the Olympic Committee. The bridge piers, the thing that holds the bridge up, are canted a little bit and spaced so far apart so that two shells could go between each pier that holds the bridge up. And this was built to meet the Olympic standards so that they could continue racing if the Olympic Committee didn't object to some other little thing. But the other universities still race, and they still race the same Olympic course.
Now, on the Marine Department, I know you talked about it quite a bit in the other tape, but is there anything that, in serving as head of that, that comes to mind, any special problems or stories or interesting things that happened to you?
Well, I think the only thing that was interesting to me was that I was appointed to head the Marine Department. It's not a civil service job. You're appointed by the city manager, and he makes a selection as to who you're going to be. And I was working in the broadcasting business at the time, but I suppose my activities in developing the marina probably was pretty well known to everybody in the city hall. And being in the broadcasting business, I knew everybody in the city hall, and everybody knew me down there. But I was out of town at the time, getting the broadcasting station in San Bernardino straightened out, and had intended to purchase it, but San Bernardino was too far away from saltwater, and so I didn't want to stay up there. Anyway, I was appointed to develop the Marine Department, and the Marine Department had a name only. The City Council authorized a Marine Department for the purpose of
developing the Long Beach Marina. And the Marine Department absorbed the lifeguards and the harbor master, and which consisted of two people. Of course, the lifeguards was a pretty fair-sized operation. But all of it was put under the Marine Department, which was a department at the time. I was appointed as a department head, the same as any other department of the city. Recreation Department, the Police Department, Fire Department, you name it, whatever it was. We were all department heads and worked directly under the city manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the fortunate experience of starting a department from scratch. I didn't inherit something from anybody else. My job was to go in and establish a department, organize the personnel necessary, the procedures, policies, promote ordinances to operate.